Couple reasons for going in the direction that I'm going today. I want to talk about what Christmas is, because this is a, we live in a day where there's a lot of different messages about what Christmas is. And there are a lot of things competing, and I want to say that is honestly what's going on. There are a lot of things that are competing with truth. There are a lot of things that are competing with the real truth about Christmas. Now, we understand Christmas is what Christmas actually is in the Bible. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Now, our society has made it a lot of different things. Now, my daughter, Ruth, asked me a question a few weeks ago, and we've had an ongoing conversation for many years in our household, because I personally have tried to minimize the amount of peripheral things in our home that, in my own heart of hearts, make it more difficult for me to bring the central meaning of Christmas. Now, when I'm saying this to you guys, I want you to understand I'm not teaching against Christmas trees or decorations or lights or any of those things. All those things are perfectly fine, gifts and so on and so forth. But I found over the years, for me, I wanted to try to bring into our family the centrality of Christ and the message of Christmas. And that's what I've tried to prepare around today. And I want to give you, in a capsulized form, in a nutshell, what is really going on, what this day really actually is about. And not to have you not go through all the things you're going through. The presents are under the tree, the lights are there, the Christmas tree is there, all of our streets are well decorated and all that kind of stuff, and we have everything up. But I want to kind of, take that out of the way for a second and bring you down to what is really going on with Christmas in the next few minutes. And will you run with me? Will you run with me as I give you a bunch of scriptures today and listen to them? Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Word of God says about this day that we celebrate, that we call Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of God coming into the world. Okay? I'm going to give you just a few passages on that, and then I want to talk about that just for a minute. Isaiah 9:6, 700 years before Jesus Christ came, these words were written by the prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Keep that in the back of your mind for a minute. 700 years before Jesus comes, the prophecy, and there are others, there are many others, but one of the prophecies is God, unto us a child is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, here's Matthew in the account, one of the accounts of the birth of Jesus Christ, and I'll just give you a portion of it. This is Matthew 1, verses 20 to 23. But after he had considered this is Joseph considering all the events that are happening, the fact that his wife is pregnant, they have never had any relations with each other. And now God is talking to him and dealing with him about how to handle the circumstance that he has of having a pregnant wife that he has not had a relationship with. And here's what God says to him through an angel. Now the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Name him Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation, because he will save his people from his sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Keep that in the back of your mind for 1 minute. John 1:1, very familiar passage. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The agape God, the God of love, the Logos God, the God who is the Word, who is truth, was in the beginning. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then it says this, he was with God in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. Nothing was made that has been made. Everything was made by him. Then in verse 14, and the Word, the Logos, the eternal, almighty God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now here's what I want you to think about, those three verses. Since the beginning of time, people have been born and died. Nothing has changed. Life and death, children born, children dying. Every person experiencing exactly the same thing. Finite human beings with limitations, sin, all the things that are in this world, going through life with the corruptions and the sin of this world and living for a short period of time and dying for thousands of years. And then, from the time of Christ until the return of Christ, exactly the same thing. People, ordinary people, us in this room, living our lives, going through life, all exactly the same. One birth, entirely, infinitely, unimaginably different than every other human birth that has ever been. Because every other birth, other than this birth, was created, limited, finite beings. But this birth is like if you take all of creation itself and you try and measure the degree of all of creation itself, this one event, this one birth, is beyond all creation itself in significance. Because in this birth, the infinite God who created, I mentioned that to you, the infinite God who created all things. The Bible says all things were made by him and for him. The Bible says the Word was in the beginning with God and all things were created by him. That infinite God, please hear this today. What is significant about Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because the infinite God of the whole universe became flesh and dwelt among us. That is an event. That is an event. It is a significant event. It's an event the world cannot comprehend. It's an event the world can't appreciate. But it is the center of Christianity and the center of the plan and the purpose of God for us. God becoming like us. Another passage says it this way. It says, although it was not robbery for him to be equal with God, he didn't think it was robbery for him to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and became like, he came in the likeness of man and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I mean, it's hard for us even to imagine how great a condescending this is. Okay, we can't even fathom the dimensions of the universe. Okay, the universe to us it seems infinite, but I want to say to you that as infinite as the universe itself seems, God is that much then again greater than the thing created. Okay? Bible says that there's a time coming that he is going to roll up the entire heavens and the earth like a scroll. You want to know how great God is? He will roll the entire universe and everything in it up like a scroll. That's how great he is. Now that God, that powerful God who holds all of the universe, every galaxy, every star in the entire universe in its place, became flesh and lived among us. That is what happened in a manger in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. Okay? That's an event worth getting excited about. Okay? Now I'm not being critical when I say this, and please don't take it that way, but no amount of tinsel, no amount of decorations, no amount of things that you can bring into your house or that you can put up on the street will ever come close to being able to adequately represent the magnitude and the glory of that moment in time. Okay? All earthly lights are minuscule. Everything that man can do to try and generate light or glory does not compare to that moment in time when God became flesh and lived among us. Now please hear this, guys, because this is the center of our worship. Why do you open your mouth and lift up your hands and with all of your energy, with everything that is in you, lift your voice to God? Because of these kinds of things. Because not only did that God come to live in human form in Jesus Christ, that God also came to live in us. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay, so no other event is like that. Something that had never happened before and never will happen again. Everyone's created by him. We all exist because of him. We all have a beginning point, a point of conception, and a point of death. But this one, born in Bethlehem, is unlike any other. It is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now, Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to us, to our forefathers, through prophets, at many times in various ways. Every one of those prophets lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. They spoke for a period of time. They were the mouthpieces of God. They wrote down the words of God. They were great servants of God, but every single one of them lived and died. In the past, God spoke to us, to our forefathers, through the prophets, at many times in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. The Son, listen to this carefully, is the message of God. Imagine God, the God of the universe, having a plan, having a purpose, wanting to communicate that plan and purpose, announcing that plan and purpose for ages and generations gone by through prophets. But now he is going to bring the message in a way that is unlike any other message that has ever been brought. Please hear this, guys. Okay? They all foretold about the one who would be the message. They had a message about the message. The word, the message became flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, listen to this, full of grace and truth. Jesus, what is Jesus? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He actually is the message. He spoke to us through prophets and things in time past in different kinds of ways in these last days. Listen to this. This is incredible. Incredible verse. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son, remember this, born in a stable in Bethlehem, you know, a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Take her for your wife. This that is happening to Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay? God becoming flesh. Who is this Son? What is he that came? The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The shining radiance of the presence and the person and the character and the heart of God. A light in the world full of darkness, full of things that are very opposite of God, full of things that pull people into chains of darkness. Darkness that twists people, that twists values, that twists ideas. Darkness that comes upon the human race, that manifests in multitude, millions upon millions of people being murdered and killed. Jealousy, anger, unforgiveness, greed, all the things that have come upon mankind because the heart of men is different than God. It's not like God. And God becomes flesh. And in all these dark things, in the midst of all these dark things that are in our hearts, he shines a great light. He shines a great light. Not just any kind of light, but the very light of the glory of the character and the person of God himself. Please hear this, guys. That is what happened there. Okay? The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Going on. Hebrews 1:6. That was 1:1-4. Hebrews 1:6. And again the Father says, when he brought forth his firstborn son into the world. Listen to this, guys. The Father says, when he brought his firstborn son into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. Okay? This is hard for us to get our hearts around. Okay? I want to tell you that what is going on in heaven right now is not like earthly worship. Earthly worship is full of limitations. It's full of the limitations of our insecurities. It's full of the limitations of our ideas about what we should or should not do. It's full of the limitations of our comfort zones. It's full of the limitations of our, can I be honest with you, with our inadequate idea of who God is. Our human worship is very, very limited. But take the veil of this earth away and set your eyes upon heaven, and what you will see is you will see the multitudes of heaven, because there is no barrier, there is no wall. There we see face to face. Here we see through a glass darkly. There, the Bible describes the worship of heaven like the ripples of thunder. Thunder roaring through the multitudes as they sing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And God says, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, there are examples of how angels worship in the Bible. Some pretty incredible examples. One of them is in the book of Isaiah 9, Isaiah 6, where Isaiah sees the Lord. Doesn't see completely, but he sees the train of God, the backside of God in the temple, and he sees cherubim and seraphim, which are angels. And he sees angels that have six wings, and with two of the wings, they're covering their faces in the presence of a holy God. With two other wings, they're covering their feet, because the place where they are is holy. And with the other two, they're flying, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We can't even imagine what that would be like. Because the reason why we can't is because the extent of the presence of God that we can experience here on earth is only a foretaste. It's a shadow. It's the first fruits only. It can be really, really good here. We can have manifestations of the presence of God, but there it'll be face to face. So here you have Isaiah. The minute he comes into this thing, the very first thing he's aware of is that he is undone. He is a sinful man. He's in the presence of a holy God. And I won't go into the whole thing, but God cleanses him. In that situation, he cleanses him and commissions him. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, please hear me today. We cannot fathom how incredible the worship of the Lord Jesus is. God says to all of the angels, worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Can I say to you, God says to us, worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Hebrews 1:8, a little bit farther down. To the Son, the Father says, your throne. This is what the Father says to the Son. Your throne, Son. Your throne, here's the words, O God. The Father says to the Son, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. That's the Father talking to his Son. In the beginning, this is the Father talking to his Son. In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heaven are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, and you will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. That's talking about the natural physical universe disappearing. But you remain the same. Your years never end. Now please hear this. That is who came on Christmas morning. That's who came on Christmas morning. God sent his Son. Yes, as a baby in a manger. But the baby in a manger was a king. He wasn't a king like any other earthly king. Okay? He was not a king. And I want you to get this today. Kings have come and gone. Kings have conquered kingdoms. There's these shows that are around right now, like Marco Polo and things like that, and Genghis Khan, and the Roman Empire, and the Babylonians and all these, and today the nations, even the United States, nations that have conquered segments of the world. Can I say to you today, everyone will come and go. But you need to understand what God sent Jesus Christ to do. This king came to establish a king, Daniel says to us, that shall not be left to another. And it is a kingdom that has no end. In actual fact, he says in the book of Daniel, he says, you saw Daniel until a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. That stone, that living stone, is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and this is all very pictorial language, symbolic language. The stone smote the image, which was the image of all the kingdoms that up until that time, Babylon and Persia and Rome and Greece and that. And the stone smote the image in the feet, and they became like dust on the threshing floor. And the wind carried all those kingdoms away. And the Bible says, in the days of those kings, God will establish a kingdom that will never end. Now listen to what the book of Hebrews says about the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. We, you, rawr, you receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says before that, it says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But you have received and are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the king. That's what Jesus came to do. Now, this last week, how many of you watched the documentaries on volcanoes this past week? Daniel and I watched the thing on volcanoes this week. And I was intrigued. I was intrigued by the... And I'm speaking stuff that you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. But there, on the National Geographic Channel, there were... three documentaries on volcanoes. One of them was Mount St. Helens. But what intrigued me was, in the past, there are volcanoes that have been so big that they have literally covered thousands of square kilometers. Thousands upon thousands of, and they're super, super volcanoes. Okay? And I had an image when I was watching this of what Jesus Christ does. Okay, every now and then here and there a volcano erupts, a kingdom is established, and a little bit of lava flows out and covers a certain amount of ground and takes over a certain amount of ground, covers a certain amount of trees, and a certain amount of animal life goes. Okay, but I had a vision when I was watching this of what Jesus Christ is. The Bible says this about the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. It says, his kingdom shall be established from the river to the ends of the earth. Okay? Bible says the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It says of the increase of his kingdom. And this is the passage when we're talking about Jesus. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. It says there, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Okay? You have to understand what Jesus came to do. What Jesus is doing is overthrowing the powers of darkness in this world. That's what he's doing. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Now I can say it to this way. For this purpose was the baby Jesus born into the world. For this reason, this is why Christmas came. This is why God became flesh. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says that he partook of flesh and blood. There it is again. God becoming man. Jesus taking on human form. He partook of flesh and blood that he through death might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Are you hearing this, guys? Okay? I don't have time to take you into all the passages. They are all over the place. You want to know what you're celebrating at Christmas? It's not Santa Claus. Sorry, kids. It's not Santa Claus. It's not a bunch of reindeer with red noses and, you know. It's not snowmen or the decorations or all those kinds of things. Something infinitely, infinitely greater than all of those things. The gifts. As good as the gifts are, nothing compares to this. And you are a part of it because Jesus Christ himself, this God, has come to take up residence inside you. You carry him into that home where you are. That's worth celebrating.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.